Hello, everyone. This is Robin Tramble, a.k.a. the Empowerment Diva, with another Power Executive Call for your Authentic Life and Biz Empowerment Bronze Circle. I'm excited about today's call topic, Offline Marketing Simplified. How much time are you spending on marketing your business? If you're not spending at least 4 hours per day and you're a new business, you're not spending enough time. And there are many strategies and tactics out there for marketing your business. There's online marketing and offline marketing. Today, I'm going to share with you a little about offline marketing. So get ready with your pen and paper, or just listen closely and get your pen and paper later to jot down notes and identify the tactics you'll be using. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time and the Authentic Life and Biz Empowerment Bronze Circle Power Executive Call. Always excited to be able to share yet some more on how they may be able to manifest the desired results that they desire. And then also to impart wisdom that you share. I ask that you just embrace everyone with your love, your joy, and your peace. And that anyone that is in an area where they're seeking answers, that you will give them clarity and that they will be able to be guided. Your word says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So we pray as they align themselves with your purpose and your call, that they will receive the answers that they need, that they will receive those witty ideas and inventions, lining themselves up so they will be able to glean from your teaching us to profit, and you give us power to get wealth. So we are excited and tap into your miraculous realm right now in Jesus' name, amen. So what is marketing anyway? And I'm just going to give you a general definition that came from the Wikipedia online dictionary. Marketing is the process used to determine what products or services may be of interest to customers or clients and the strategy to use in sales, communications, and business development. It is an integrated process through which companies build strong customer relationships and create value for their customers and for themselves. Marketing is used to identify the customer, satisfy the customer, and keep the customer. With the customer as the focus of its activities, marketing management is one of the major components of business management. So there are other definitions, and you can think of your own creative definition for marketing. For the most part, you're just basically creatively and authentically moving the product to the customer, moving solutions and resources to the customer, and that is authentically as I stated. So let's get into this information here. I know you're going to hear, a few things that are general, and then you may hear some things that you haven't heard before. I enjoy listening to others share their empowering information because even though I've heard it before, just being exposed to it again, sometimes I may get an idea. So you'll find that these ideas start out somewhat simplistically and gradually get more creative and complex. And so we're going to dig in and start thinking about how you could apply these ideas to your business today. And that's what I always want you to do, is to think about customizing. Even though I give you the ideas, you should always, you know, be seeking God for wisdom. He gives us witty ideas and inventions, so it's important that you seek out that support as much as possible. I'm going to share a post shared on my blog, and it speaks about coaches. However, it can apply to anyone. What is the one thing most coaches concentrate on? And that would include coaching certification. Or you may focus on the business of what? Coaching. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you shouldn't learn the necessary skills involved in coaching, nor am I saying that you shouldn't get certification. However, you're doing it all wrong if this is your main focus or area of concentration. And as I stated, I'm speaking toward coaches right now, but this can be applied to anyone. This is not exclusive. It's to many entrepreneurs, small business owners, spend little to no time concentrating on this one area that I'm going to mention. And the one mistake you may be making is focusing about 85% of your time on the business of coaching and 15% of your time on marketing. Here's the scenario. You've studied the hours needed to fulfill your coaching certification. You have developed your programs and even identified the formats you'll use. Now what? Exactly. You're stuck with the task of locating leads, attracting, and getting clients. What you should be focusing more on is marketing. This is not the last step in your process. You should be looking into this much sooner than most coaches have. Marketing is something you must learn more about, and even more specifically, online marketing and also offline marketing, which is what we're talking more about today. I'm not going to tell you that more experienced coaches are doing any better or more experienced entrepreneurs or business owners. However, my commitment is to seek out Christian women coaches or consultants, authors, entrepreneurs who are in the early stages so that I can empower you to get your message out there and reach those who so need your services. And if you're in need of more support, then you're at the right place right now within the Authentic Life and Business Empowerment Bronze Circle. Anyone else needing more specific private coaching, you can talk to me about that. I'm always available, especially to those that are already connected. So let's talk a little bit about traditional offline marketing. And I know some of these you've probably heard. And don't think that these methods are too simple or mundane. They are very effective when you do them right and when they're combined with other techniques that I'm sharing. Classified ads. This is something everyone should be testing in some form or another. It's great for lead generations. You should still have a strong benefit-driven headline and a clear call to actions. Free reports work very well with classifieds. For instance, Craigslist.org. You can list your free reports there. There's another site called UPillar or UPillar, UPillar.com. There are various places that you can list your free reports, and that's a way to start list building. Direct mail. Now, nothing beats direct response when it comes to results-driven, proven advertising. And messages sent directly to your highly targeted market via direct mail can deliver a terrific return on investment or your ROI when tested properly. So that's one of the other things that we get away from. You know, I'm going to mention a few things, and one is postcards. This is a form of direct mail, but it warrants its own category. Postcards are cheaper to produce and mail than full-blown direct mail packages or sales letters, and they are great for generating leads. Like classified ads, a free report or a free gift often works well here. I don't know if you receive postcards from other individuals. I'm actually going to get into that a little bit more. I used to do it years ago, and I think with the online marketing, we've kind of left out some of our typical marketing where we utilize offline tactics. So postcards are a great way to stay in touch with your customers and prospects, and they also work well as part of a sequence of mailings. You can find customized postcards at www.usps.com, and that's the U.S. Postal Service. And they've partnered with a company that will print and mail your postcards for you. Best of all, you only pay for the postage. Okay, then you want to make sure you include yourself on the mailing list so you get your own mailing as well. Yellow Pages. Now, this is another great resource, and it's often underutilized or used ineffectively. And, you know, that could be because of the investment that's involved, but it still is there. Yellow page ads are great because when someone sees your ad, they're already in the market for your product or service. So that's still something that you can look out for. You want your ad to stand out from the clutter. Use a direct response type of ad. And, again, free gifts or premiums work well here. There's an individual named Gary Halbert who has written about Yellow Pages several times in his newsletter, and to find them easily, just enter the following search at Google, site colon the Gary, H-A-L-B-E-R-T letter.com, plus open quote, Yellow Page, close quote. Okay, so... And that might not be something that you're really interested in, but it's something that you can add to your list. Space ads, if you're going to do a space ad, it will generally get better results if you use the same layout as the editorials. You can use the same font styles and sizes for the headline, body, etc. If the newspaper uses two columns per article on the page, your ad will appear. Use two columns in your ad. If they use three columns, use three. The advertorial approach almost always does better than traditional space ads that scream ad. And a great way to get very low-cost space ads is to use what's known as remnant or standby advertising. Enter the following search in Google to see what I mean. Site colon the Gary Halbert letter.com plus open quote Nancy Jones quote, close quote. And you'll learn to experiment in many creative ways to find out what works for you. Okay, so that's just another one to add. Radio, TV, infomercials. You might be surprised how inexpensive you can get these types of slots, especially if you use remnant advertising, R-E-M-N-A-N-T. Study the best infomercials, for example, the ones you see over and over again. Obviously, they must be working or they wouldn't keep airing them. You can get some ideas on how they are constructed. Flyers, okay, you might be able to hire a high school student to stuff mailboxes. And actually, I extract that because actually you don't want to put anything in someone's mailbox. That's actually illegal. But in some areas, you can put them under the windshields. Now, obviously, if you're selling a high-priced financial course, it would be better to target the windshields of a fancy hotel than your local Walmart. And I believe the U.S. Postal Service also prints them for you like they do postcards if you want to mail them. Now, there's another company called Vista Print that I know at times has specials on some of your mailing materials, VistaPrint.com. Okay, networking, and I think we've all heard about this, but the thing that I think most mistakes are made is that you go networking and you try to find out how many business cards you can pass out, when actually they're probably doing the same thing that you are, and that is collecting the cards, and they just end up in the corner somewhere. But you want to be more strategic. Find someone that may, you know, have a few points on what your ideal prospect or client might be. And then if you're connecting with someone who may not be that ideal prospect or client, but the industry they're in would serve those people that you would like to connect with, then that might be someone who you would like to exchange your business card with. So instead of it being how many business cards can I give out, it's how many can I gather of those that are targeted. So one thing is your local chamber of commerce or trade shows, seminars, and anywhere your prospects hang out are all good opportunities for networking. In many cases, the hotel, you know, where they have the bar the night before the seminar is the best opportunity for making contacts. It's usually more effective to try to capture contacts and leads than to try to close a sale on the spot. And that's the other thing. You're not there to sell. You're there to build relationships. You're there to get in front of those who you can build a, you know, a healthy relationship with, see how you can serve one another. And that is what you should go networking for. and not to see how many programs you could sell or how many people you can get to sign up for your event, you know. So that's one thing to keep in mind there. Another is telemarketing. And remember, the do not call list only applies to consumers. So if you do any kind of business-to-business selling, telemarketing is a viable marketing method you can use effectively. Also, the do not call list may not apply to you with your customers or if you already have a relationship with your prospects. And let me say something about outsourcing. Once you know the guidelines of various industries in your state, you can also, you know, outsource some of the things that you'd like to do. Now, when it's telemarketing, you have to be careful. You have to make sure that whoever is doing it is credible, professional, of excellence, you know, because they are representing your company. But other than that, some of the things that I'm telling you, you can outsource it, and that way you can focus on your expertise and let them help to service your business in that way. 10, a trade show booth. A great place to capture leads, and I think you all may have already heard of that. Again, a free report or gift does wonders. You don't want to, you know, be there just selling something. You can have some things just in case someone is interested or they've already heard about your company. Say if you're representing, you know, a company and you're in multi-level marketing or networking, then, you know, you may have some things there because they've already heard about your company and, oh, I've been looking for a such and such representative because I need, you know. But the other thing is to really just get them on the list. You want to get them on the list. You want to capture their name and email information and phone number. And by all means, let them know. And you might have a bowl, like if you're collecting business cards, let's say you're doing a drawing, put a card on the bowl that says that you will receive updates. By putting your card in here, you understand that you will receive updates from me to your email inbox from time to time. And that way you've already let them know that they will receive updates from you. Another way is when you hand out your information, you can have a link on that page for them to click on to go to the opt-in page or squeeze page for them to request your information. That way they're already opting into the list. But you can do both because they may not, you know, go to the web page and click. So you're kind of covering both bases. When you get an online waiting at your booth, many people will stop by just to see what the fuss is about. Make your sales materials and salespeople benefit driven. Remember what your prospects are thinking. What's in it for me? They're on the YIFM frequency. So you want to remember that. Blimps, banners, and billboards, you know, some of this is conventional, traditional. If it's zoned for advertising and it's blank, you have an opportunity, so just keep that in mind. Door hangers, those same high school students can help you with door hangers as well. Vistaprint and various other companies can help you with those. 13 circulars, again, your high school students can also help you hand out circulars. You can post them on community bulletin boards, on telephone poles, wherever you're allowed to do that. You can make a donation to your local church and ask them if you can leave a stack at their next bake sale or bingo event. You know, just get creative. And certainly you can arrange to have your circular included in your local newspaper or community paper. For your money, circulars are very inexpensive to print and distribute. Card decks. These stacks of index cards are mailed to targeted audiences. Each deck can contain anywhere from 50 to 200 cards or so, each with an advertisement or coupon. And they may also double as a business reply card on that. And since your ad is mixed in with tons of others, it's especially important to have a great headline and layout that will stand out from the clutter. Okay? You always need to stand out. And card decks are inexpensive because all of the advertisers are sharing the cost of the mailing. They can cost as little as 3 cents a prospect for large mailings. Even for smaller mailings, they are generally cheap, which is good for testing. Make sure you choose your audience wisely. Card decks are great for targeting a niche or a niche. Free reports or books work especially well here because the person flipping through the cards will be attracted to the word free, and as always, make sure there is a clear call to action. Multiple methods of response usually work better than a single method. For example, they can drop the card in the mail, call a free recorded message, go to your website, etc. And you may have some options with remnant space, so always try to negotiate a lower price. How hard is it for them to stick another card in their mailing? Their costs are incremental and their profit is high even on remnant rates. A couple other tips: when you see repeat advertisers in a deck, you have a pretty good idea that the deck is working for that ad. And if that ad also targets your niche market, it may be a good one to test in. Also, test with copy that you already know works. And value pack. Similar to card decks, value packs are little booklets with multiple ads. They are mostly used with coupons rather than business reply cards. Now, a lot of these things that I'm telling you about, especially the value packs and the decks, you may see one in that bundle that actually invites you to also place an ad with them. So, you know, that is the way that you're going to find out about how you can utilize the benefit of using their service. Ad magazines, you've seen them, magazines that are little more than a collection of space ads. They are usually local, and the ads in them usually aren't direct response. By putting your direct response ad there, you stand out over all the other ads. But the downside is that these magazines tend to be less niche-focused, although there are certainly exceptions with the real estate and automobile-themed magazines and newspapers. Catalogs. Your catalog doesn't have to look like L.L. Bean or the like to be effective. A good one to study with respect to the ads themselves is the J. Peterman catalog. You can check out www.jpeterman.com. Here's a good way to start small and work up from there in developing a good catalog. A, try a simple double-sided flyer first and test response. B, make sure you locate highly targeted lists, as the wasted cost of mailings is going to be your biggest expense. C, continue to expand, test, and tweak. You want to test everything, your layout, your copy, your prices, until you find the best combination. Okay, so that was some of your conventional or traditional offline marketing. I'm going to share a few creative offline marketing ideas. One is package inserts. And if you're going to mail out a product or a package to a customer anyway, always tuck a sales letter for another product in the package. It won't cost you any more, and when your customer receives that package, he or she will be pleased with the product, assuming your product is of value, and be more favorable towards another purchase from you. You can also joint venture with other companies that target your niche market and get them to include your insert when shipping their product. Mini seminars, a great way to bundle up all of your products and services and sell them from the platform. It's very inexpensive to rent a hall and put on a two-hour presentation for your target market on something that interests them. You position yourself as the expert, and you get to pitch your products and services. Be sure to record the event and offer it to other prospects who may not be able to attend the presentation in person. Now, depending on what your goal is, what it is you want to achieve or accomplish, you know, I don't know if I want to say pitch, but you want to offer solutions to some of, you know, the problems that you've identified and you shared. And you don't want to, you know, all of a sudden sound like you're going into sales mode. But share, I've offered you some of the problems represented in blah, blah, blah. I'd like to also let you know that I have put together some products that can support these areas of concern for you, and they are located. One way you can do is also make your order form, make it up as a solution list, okay, or a list of solutions, and work that into your presentation. Work that in at the end as opposed to it sounding like you're going into the pitch. Okay, so that's another way that you can market offline. Teleseminars. Now, this is something that you do online. However, seeking out people to come to the teleseminar is offline. You know, when you're putting out your circulars or your flyers, or you might even do a seminar that's promoting an upcoming telecourse. Okay, so this is another way. Basically, it's a conference call, and we've all probably been on many of them. Some have organized them and have been speakers. They can be pure content. For example, no obvious pitches for strengthening social proof and building up anticipation for a new product to be released in the future. They can be a mixture of content and pitch. You can even arrange a series of them as a telecourse and charge money to attend it. Mark Goldman and Jay Abraham did this with a six-month-long series, one per month, on joint ventures and deal-making. So this is creative, and, you know, that's why it can be included here. Voice broadcast, a very underutilized technique. If you have an existing relationship with your customers or prospects, the do not call list does not apply. And that sets the stage for a great way to call thousands of your customers simultaneously when they are most likely to be away from home. You simply upload your customers' phone numbers, record the message you want to leave, and the technology does the rest. Example, hi, this is Judith Smith. Sorry I missed you, but I wanted to let you know that our fire sale is ending tomorrow. Voice broadcasts work best when they are part of a sequence. For example, hi, this is Judith Smith calling from Smith Publishing. I'm sorry that I missed you, but I wanted to let you know about a valuable letter and free gift we're sending to your home. You should be getting it in the next day or two. Just look for the bright blue envelope, okay? Gift certificates, and it's generally known that people will usually spend more than the gift certificate amount. So if you operate a jewelry store and you mail your customers a free, no obligation, $25 gift certificate is usually a very sound investment. Most restaurant owners already know that people generally don't dine alone. So by giving your customers a free gift certificate, they're bound to bring in others who will spend more money on food and drinks. A good variation on this formula is the free birthday dinner, and generally nobody is going to come in on their birthday and eat their free dinner by themselves. They're going to bring friends, relatives, and you get the idea. So that's another way that you can use. Here's a great way to use gift certificates to get referrals. You send a letter to your customers with three gift certificates. One they can use for themselves, and the other two they can give away to friends or relatives. They keep your customers happy, and happy customers are more likely to speak highly of you to others. And they compound that fact by letting your customers give the certificates to others to whom they will sing your praises. It's like tell a friend script on steroids. How cool is that? So that's a good idea that you can utilize right away. Okay? Coupons, like gift certificates, coupons are also a great way to touch your customers and bring them back into your store or website or whatever. Most shopping carts have this function in it that you can give, if not a coupon, and actually it can be a coupon with the code on the discount code on the coupon, or if it's virtual, you know, you can create that virtual coupon and the code is there that they use. This is a good way to touch your customers and bring them back. We're talking about adding value, so it's not always about just selling for the sake of selling, but letting them know that you care about them. Send emails from time to time with just a good article. You know if they're on your list for healthy eating, then they're going to enjoy healthy recipes. You know, not your everyday, but something that you think that's a little different of value, and just say, well, I thought you might be interested in this article. At the bottom, you know, you might have a recommendation at the bottom for them, which also enhances your online sales because you're giving them the opportunity to know that you care about them, and people buy from who they know, like, and trust. Those coupons that we're talking about now are more offline that you hand to customers person to person. Another way would be contests. The sandwich chain Subway recently had a scratch-off contest, but you had to go online to see if you were a winner. Contests are a great way to get leads and generate sales. And here's a tip. Always include an unadvertised second place that everyone who didn't win will get. Okay, Joe Vitale did that last year and used an email and voice broadcast to announce your second place prize. I would have included a sequence of direct mail as well, but the premise is the same. Also, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is a great example of using their product in the contest itself. If your product or service lends itself well to this approach, consider testing it. Okay, celebrity endorsements, they aren't as expensive as you might think unless you try to get Sean Connery or Tom Cruise or Denzel Washington. The key is that you need to use celebrities that your target market recognizes as such. So Tony Rice would make a great celebrity for bluegrass and acoustic guitar enthusiasts. Okay, not so much for gardening fans, but, you know, someone that your audience would recognize. A CD sales letter. People generally won't read 90 minutes worth of copy, but they will listen to it, and then it doesn't have to be 90 minutes, but you get what I'm saying. The perceived value is much higher than a traditional sales letter as well. And they can listen to it in their cars, on their Walkmans. Although today everyone has an iPod, why not use a podcast instead? The point is that you can cram in a lot more information. You can do testimonials in their own voices, have sound effects or music, anything to help advance the sale, correct? And this is what you're doing when you're using a CD sales letter. Thank you letters. Whether you send gift certificates, coupons, a two-for-one special, a free gift, or just friendly thank you letter, a friendly thank you letter to stay on your customer's radar screen, and this is what you should be doing. These types of letters are memorable and encourage your customers to send you referrals. As always, these types of letters should be personalized and never use a mailing address letter on the envelope. Okay. For example, dear Mrs. Smith, I hope you are very pleased with your recent purchase of my quality artwork. May it bring much viewing pleasure for you and your family for years to come. Being an independent artist, I truly appreciate your business. I really want to personally thank you. You should know that a recent painting I did was auctioned locally for more than $10,000. My work is featured at local art shows, and my original Silent Tempest painting has been on display on the Wadsworth Atheneum in Hartford since 1998. That means if you hold on to your painting, you'll likely see its value increase considerably. As you may know, I also paint custom portraits, landscapes, abstract art, and theme-based artwork from your choice of subjects. What does that mean for you? Good question. I just moved into a new, more spacious studio, and I'm having a special sale just for my best customers. Here's what I want you to do. You'll love this. Call me right away for a absolutely free, no obligation quote on any custom painting you'd like me to do for you. But don't tell me you have this letter until after I give you my free, no hassle quote. Only then tell me that you have this letter, and I'll knock off an additional 21%. I'll knock off an additional 21% of my already ridiculously low price. That way you'll know for sure I haven't padded my price just to give the appearance of a sale. I'm going to let you trick me. Why would I do this? Simple. I want you as a customer for life. Most of my customers come back again and again because they love my inspiration and extraordinary use of colors. And they appreciate the fact that no other local artist enjoys an appreciation on the value of their paintings as I do. So call me today at 555-555-5555 for your free quote. Your very truly yours, Judith or Miss Smith, Judith Smith. P.S. Remember, call me right away to take advantage of this most exclusive offer for our best customers. Only notice you always need to do a P.S. because most times they go right down to the P.S. and they'll read that and maybe a P.P.S. Also, don't tell me that you have this letter until after I give you my rock bottom price first. So that's a creative way. It may be a little lengthy, but it's all good and value, so they most likely they'll read through the letter. Okay, obviously it's fictitious and it's a sample letter. Okay, the other is event marketing. Ever see those Plaza Store events? Like when a new book is released, all the stores get together and celebrate the launch of the book in different ways. Obviously, there's the bookstore release, the local video and game rental store gets in the act. So does the family restaurant, ice cream vendor, and arcade. Even the dry cleaning store can get involved and pump up their business if they stick to a common theme. And this is all announced ahead of time with appropriate press releases, et cetera, so people coming down know what to expect. Oh, great, we can get the book for little Sally. I can drop off my suit at the cleaners. My wife can go to the apparel store. What a great time this will be for the whole family. Okay, so you get the gist of that. Start a talk show. If you have a regular content, if you have regular content to deliver that your target market wants, your own local talk show may be another avenue to cut through the clutter. Sometimes there, most places have local access stations that have these types of programs, and in most cases, the community stations are free to air your programs. And you think nobody watches them? Well, you're not going to beat out American Idol, and even infomercials will likely edge you out. But informal surveys that have been conducted say that people are aware of these shows and sometimes watch all or part of one during late-night channel surfing. There are even some regular shows that some of the locals rely on for information they can't easily get anywhere else. The key is not to do the same boring thing everyone else is doing. Okay, so you want to be creative. If you can't start your own talk show locally, why not appear as a guest on one? You can get a DVD recording of it to use as a lead generation device or your IFO, which is an irresistible free offer. You can get great leads that way if your target market is watching. Okay, this is talking about offline marketing. Word of mouth viral marketing. The key here is create something that people will want to share. Okay, yes, the telefriend scripts are good online. The gift certificate idea mentioned previously is another. But surely there's something you can think of to really wow them. You want to make them say, wait until Suzanne sees this. And one of the keys to making this work in any sort of lead generation device is to know your customer's lifetime value. In other words, what does your average customer in this market, using the type of lead generation you are doing, bring you in profits over their entire lifetime? Now, let's say it's $25,000, and let's say your method of gathering leads converts 10% of leads into customers. Do you think it's wise to spend $100 per lead of that type in your efforts? Seems like a no-brainer to me, and that's what you want to be looking at. And like I always say, think and make decisions based on the millionaire you or from where you want to be. Don't just make your decisions based on what you are now or what you have or where you are now, but based on where you'd like to be. Volunteer. Besides making you feel good about helping a worthy cause, it's a great way to network if you can volunteer where you come into contact with prospects or people who have frequent contact with your prospects. It's always good to think both ways. Okay, for instance, even those that you are seeking out may not be your ideal prospect or client, but they may be in contact with a community of those who are. So that would be a very good relationship that you would want to build, and you would want to network with that individual. Unusual places for ads, I should say unused places. Wherever a space is zoned for advertising and it's blank, there's an opportunity to get your message out, the side of a van, the side of a dumpster, wherever. And then, you know, it depends on what your business is as far as if you're even interested in using the side of a dumpster. Be an in-house speaker. Besides getting great fees to appear and speak, you establish yourself as the expert. And like your free local mini-seminar that I spoke of earlier, it's a great place to share your products and services. In-house presentations. J.P. Maroney talked about the stadium pitch, and I believe he was referring to a Chet Holmes article that talked about in-house presentations and closing the sale. And I'm not going to say it better than Chet, so I'll refer you to the article that you can read yourself. It's at www.chethomes.com/articles/increasing_your_sales_ratio.htm. Okay. All right, just a little bit more here. Let me check a few things. How is everyone doing? I know this is quite a bit of information, but something is going to fit your style. It's going to fit you. Hopefully, as you're listening, you're being creative. You're thinking of ways that you can apply it to your business and what you're doing. Okay, and that's the thing. Anytime I share these calls with you, I want you to think about your business, what results you want from your business or your ministry, and then take what I'm giving you and see how you can use it. Maybe you can use it as I'm stating, or you maybe tweak something here or there, but, you know, always keep in mind who you are, what your business is, what the vision and mission is, who are your customers, okay? So you want to keep all of that in mind. Dimensional mail is another thing, or lumpy mail as it's known, is a great way to get your letter opened. And people just can't resist a lumpy package. After it's open, however, your sales letter should do its job. If you have a successful sales letter, adding a dimensional object to it will almost always bump response. Okay? And here's a resource, a great place to get these types of lumpy mail objects. It's from Mitch Carson at www.impactproducts.net. Another place to get million-dollar deals and related promotional items is www.milliondollarsource.com. All right, get your online list, home address, and phone number. One technique Gary Halbert used was to ask his list for their home address because he wanted to send them something to help them with their marketing. Then he sent them a lumpy mail package, but he got their home address. Now he can send them direct mail pieces and cut through all the email clutter by bypassing it completely. Well, actually, by supplementing it. Okay, going out of business. If a business with the same target market as yours is going to shut down soon, why not acquire their customer list? Most brick-and-mortar businesses consider liquidating their inventory or equipment, but not all of them are savvy enough to sell their customer list. And that could be a huge opportunity for you. You might want to put a star by this one and build up your confidence, and there's no reason you can't ask about doing this. You know, ask them, all they're going to say is no. And hopefully you've built yourself up to where you're not allergic to no, okay? Okay. Office or waiting room redesign. If you have an office, waiting room, or reception area for your business, get rid of all magazines and replace them with testimonials and success story books, before and after photo albums, and other publications designed to advance the sale. Replace your wall paintings with framed testimonials. Give them an avalanche of proof. Isn't that cool and creative? That is something that anyone can utilize. And if you have people that frequent your home, you can also have a place that you position that. Okay, prepaid services. The prepaid memberships have been sold successfully by many businesses such as cosmetic surgeons, chiropractors, dental services, martial arts schools, photographers, restaurants, you name it. The idea is to offer a bundle of services or products that will cost far more if purchased separately over time than if purchased prepaid upfront. Okay. I have a few more creative business cards. Besides using both sides of your business cards and putting a compelling, benefits-oriented message on it, there are many other creative ways to put your business card to work for you. Of course, odd-shaped and Rolodex-styled cards stick out from the crowd as well. One real estate agent in California hands an extra $3 and a business card to the toll collector as he crosses the bridge into San Francisco. He tells the toll collector that he wants to pay for the driver behind him and asks him to give the driver his business card. 9 out of 10 times, the driver calls at least to say thank you. He sold several expensive homes that way as a result. A good lead generation device is to offer a free report or other gift on the back of the card, then just distribute them where your prospects live. Okay? So think of the different things that you may be able to give away creatively and put that on the back of the card. Another good way to monetize and up-level the use of your business cards. Ask your customers. It may sound super simple, but if you ask your customers what they want and then give it to them, you'll be ahead of your competitors. For example, there's a local dentist who advertises on the radio that he offers a little pill that will put patients to sleep. While they snooze, he fixes years of neglect and damage in one visit. Without asking his customers, he may not have come up with this tremendous USP, that's unique selling position. So one way to do this online is a survey, and that's at www.surveymonkey.com. You can ask those that are offline and those that utilize the Internet, ask them to go online. Obviously, you'll need to have the link that they go to, and there is a way that you can customize the link so it's not a long link that you can't people can't remember or even take down. You can go to tinyurl.com or bit.ly or budurl.com, and you can shorten your survey link, and that's a good way to get some information from your customers. This is always going to be something that's going to be utilized in any form of marketing, and that's to do research to find out what they want. Again, this seems simplistic because that's what you should be doing, but you'd be surprised how often it's overlooked. For instance, that same dentist that I just mentioned above also advertises that nobody in his office will ever lecture you about avoiding visits to a dentist or failing to care properly for your teeth. They'll cheerfully do the work that you need and that you want without guilt or hassle. Now, that's a powerful benefit that most patients will probably not volunteer to tell their dentist if asked. But by researching what dental patients complain about and why they avoid going to the dentist as often as they should, he's addressed another powerful benefit of going to see them. So there lies the benefit of your taking the time to do research. Okay, think about it. I'm getting some ideas even as I'm sharing with you of other ways that I can find out what would best support my customer and clients. Positioning. Now, J. Conrad Levinson and Seth Golden talk about this in the Guerrilla Marketing Handbook. When Toms of Maine introduced their all-natural toothpaste, they didn't want to directly compete with all the other toothpaste out there. So they positioned themselves as a healthy, all-natural alternative. They sold it in health stores instead of supermarkets. Close-up toothpaste, you got it, used a similar tactic, whereas most other toothpaste emphasized no cavities and were more family-oriented. Close-up targeted single people and emphasized whiteness. All right, so that would be something you want to do, is to make sure that you are positioning. Video brochure, the same advantages a CD sales letter has over a print sales letter are even greater with a video brochure. You can film your own infomercial, and even if it never airs, you can distribute it on DVD or videotape. Unlike infomercials, which have some strict guidelines, video brochures can contain practically any format. You can use the news broadcast format, which is restricted in infomercials. The best video brochures are those that look like television programs, since that's what people expect to see when they are watching it. And testimonials can now contain video of the person speaking. before and after shots are great in this format as well. Okay, let's see, how much time do we have left? Hope everyone's doing okay. Let's see, if you have any questions, press star 2. If you have a question, I know you just want to hear what else I have. We have maybe 5 more minutes, so press star 2. I'm just checking real quick. Okay, here's something called database marketing. And database marketing can be as simple as sending a greeting card or other touch communications with your customers and prospects. A florist specializing in nationwide delivery of fresh orchids uses database marketing quite effectively. If you order a bouquet for a friend's birthday or anniversary, they note the date and occasion in their computer. And 11 months later, you'll receive a call from them reminding you of the occasion and asking you if you'd like to send another bouquet. Restaurants do this all the time with their birthday gift certificates. And other companies take it a step further and know when their customers will need a reorder of their product. They'll send a coupon or other discount to make another sale, for example, an oil change. Nowadays, with all of the rewards and shoppers' club cards, supermarkets, and chain stores not only capture everything you purchase and win, they can send you coupons and discounts for those products you regularly purchase. And Amazon sends you emails about books similar to ones you have purchased when they're released and during other promotions. So you get the idea. You may want to consider starting your own rewards type program or something similar. You want to plan it out. You need the software or however you're going to, you know, manage it. But that is, get creative. And if you don't have a large list of customers yet, you know, or maybe you're dealing more with one-to-one, you know, higher-end products, and that's something that you should be able to do, or higher-end services. Secret sales, you can send your customers a postcard that has a secret discount from 10% to whatever on everything they buy in one visit. The catch is they have to come into your store to find out the amount of the discount. The chance that they may have a 75% off coupon, for example, is often irresistible to the customer. Now, that's good for a brick-and-mortar business. You can also use that online. You know, you can send the direct response coupons and gift certificates for the discount or your sale that you're doing. Let's see. You can, you know, hand them out offline, so there is a way that you can utilize that. Okay, I'm going to mention this one, and this might be the last one, only because newsletters, for the most part, you know, e-zines, you do them online, but there's still the conventional newsletter that you can do and send in the mail. And newsletters are a great way to keep in touch with your customers. You can offer them special discounts and coupons, added value, inform them of upcoming events, give them recipes, articles, advice, tips on making the most of your products or services, and much more. And it's a great place to slip in case studies, success stories, testimonials, and pitches for other products and services. So here are some tips for running a successful newsletter. Don't make it a straight sales pitch. You want it to be something your customers look forward to receiving. Too much advertising can turn them off and equate it with junk mail. You want to include quality content on a variety of subjects, not all related to your business. You don't want to be boring. And that's more for the newsletter that's offline. Now, online, most of the information will be related to your business, to you, what's going on with you and your family, or things that are going on in the industry. You know, keep it regular and consistent. Don't send it 3 times in 1 month and then wait 2 months before sending it out again. For one, you won't look very professional. They'll forget about you, and then they may feel if you can't remember to be consistent with the newsletter, why should they trust you with their business? Okay, quarterly is fine. Monthly is much better. Bi-monthly is even better. I would say at least twice a month, every other week. If you want to build the know, like, and trust, build that relationship, you want to convert them to a client, a customer, nurture and keep them, then you want to do it at least twice a month. Okay. There are ways that you can come up with the regular content. You know, think of different things that you may see that you can actually integrate into a story. You know, something you may see your daughter do, your son, or you may be out and about and you see something or attach it to a current event, or do a series, you know, 7 tips for a success mindset, and you might deal with one tip each week. Whatever it is that your target market likes, you can come up with a series of things that you introduce. Go with the seasons. If it's holidays, have a theme around the holidays, you know, and then the survey comes in here again. You can do a survey and find out what they're most interested in to help you develop the content. You want to proofread your newsletter. A spell checker won't really flag for F-O-U-R when it should have been F-O-R-E. Tools like Microsoft Word also have grammar checkers. You want to check for factual accuracy and make sure dates, times, and places are all correct. Double-check coupon amounts and other numerical figures. Once you develop a layout that works, try to keep it consistent from issue to issue. I know sometimes I do an HTML format, and then I'll do a text. The text is called PowerPoint, and then I do Empowerment Connection for the HTML. You want to make it easy on the eyes to read. Avoid white type on black or color backgrounds. Don't use dark blue type on a light blue background. Use serif, S-E-R-I-F fonts for the body text. Don't make it look like too much work to read. Use white space liberally, and that's even for the offline paper newsletter. Okay, and that's more what we're talking about now, but some of this applies to the e-zine or the online. Have a plan before you launch your newsletter. You want to have specific goals about what you want it to do for you and your market. Should it be written first person from the owner or third person? Like most newspaper articles, do you want to have regular columns or features, guest writers? Do your homework up front. Always include your contact information, perhaps even on each page, but really you can just, you know, at the close, I have your contact information. Feature customers regularly, especially if it's offline. They like to see their names in print, and it's always far better to let them share what you have than for you to share yourself, okay? So that is the newsletter, and basically dealing with one that you will send offline, direct mail, so to speak. And, you know, I'm picking that back up myself. I do have the e-zine, but I want to incorporate something that may be just a newsletter for my clients and customers. You know, you don't have to send one that goes to your entire list, but to offset the cost, you know, it'd be probably more a good business within good business ethics to send it to your clients and your customers. And then there's another way that you can utilize even the offline marketing with a tip sheet or newsletter, and that is some of the, say if you're in the cosmetics industry, some of your beauty salons and even massage places, exercise places for women, that may be, I don't know, you could talk about how you have this tip newsletter that you'd love to leave for their customers free of charge. You know, you never know, especially your local beauty salon. They may love, because they have things there for their customers or clients to read, why not make it one of your tip sheets or your newsletter that you provide? Make that available. Okay, well, we are at the top of the hour, and I have shared quite a bit with you that I know are some yummy tactics for you to realize a juicy upgrade to your sales and getting those clients and those customers. The key is, like I always say, learning is great. However, application is key. What at least three things are you going to use from this call to upgrade your business? What three things or upgrade your ministry? Go ahead and do that before you hit your pillow tonight. Just jot down three things that you're going to utilize. Jot down what you're going to do on a monthly basis, a weekly basis, and then the daily, what you're going to do. Come up with your goals. How many new clients or customers do you want to achieve in a month's time or 2 months' time or quarterly? You know, so it's all about getting it done, making it happen, doing what you need to do to realize the results that you want. And I'm here for you. Maybe next time you'll have a question for the next call. That is your benefit to submit questions on personal, spiritual, or business empowerment, and then I do some laser coaching toward the end of the call. We haven't had much of that happening, and I think ladies are just busy, but hopefully we'll get a few that put this on their calendar and, you know, just do it like it's something important. It's for you. It's for your business. It's your benefit. So make sure that you make that contact and submit those questions to me. Well, this is Robin Tramble, a.k.a. The Empowerment Diva. This has been your Authentic Life and Biz Empowerment Bronze Circle Power Executive Call. Today's topic, offline marketing made simple. Go ahead and use this information. I want to hear from you. You can email info@robintramble.com. And do me a favor, share enthusiastically with someone else about this membership. They can go to http://bit.ly/ALBE Bronze Connect and let them know what they are able to access as an entry level to my coaching support. All of the benefits and the information that you receive is actually a value of over $347 monthly. That is awesome, and it's a no-brainer. Well, I love you with the love of the Lord, and I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much for joining me. I do appreciate your receiving from my expertise, and I will continue to add value to you. Thank you so much. I will talk to you again real soon. God bless.